What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new installment of the Iowa Clinic Men's Center sponsored podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com, IAMenCenter.com. We're making history today with the podcast. We are on the road. We find ourselves at the Sukup practice facility. I'm in the women's basketball office today. Clones have their exhibition opener coming up tomorrow. William and Mary will be in town. Ironically, Bill Finley used to coach there as he begins his 20th season as Iowa State's head coach. Billy Finley.
We play William Penn, but we'll go with
who did I say?
William and Mary. It's all right.
I said
sounds
William,
better.
I said I think, William and Mary now.
I think William and Mary's D1, so we'll
yeah,
go
it's
with
William
that.
Penn. We had the William
you did.
Part right.
And which your is name the most is, important part.
Your name is William.
Exactly.
And your son's name is it actually William or is it Will?
It is actually William.
So I had
that's you had everybody.
That was like the worst intro to in a normal professional podcast. This isn't live. So the normal professional podcast would stop, edit that out because I can do it. I have all this fancy equipment here.
Right.
As you could see, but we don't do that here.
No, I think that's what people love about Cyclone Fanatic. That's what people love about Iowa State Athletics. What you see is what you get.
That we're unprofessional.
Yeah. And we could, we've only been doing this 45 seconds, so it'd be easy to roll it back. But you know what?
We keep it real.
We're just going to correct them right on the air. We're going to keep rolling. No big deal. We got the William part right, so it's all that matters.
William Finley, the second, is my guest. I hadn't even introduced you yet.
Yeah, well.
William and Mary.
Maybe people guessed.
William and Mary's D1.
Yeah.
Aren't they over? No, I'm thinking of Holy Cross. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're over there by those guys.
You should schedule them. Have you ever played them before?
I don't know.
I think it'd be a nice addition to the non-con.
Yeah, then when we do the podcast, we can say we're playing William Penn.
Yeah, I was going to say. Then I'll go with the other William. Billy Finley is my guest today, obviously, on the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast here. Big season for your dad and for the program. 20 years of Bill Finley. I got the 20, right? Correct?
20 is correct. Yeah. Yes.
So you were, what, you're 30? Are you 30
Almost
now?
30.
Okay, so you were, what, 9 when you moved to Ames?
Yep.
What do you remember about that? Like, what do you remember about the first remembrance of Iowa State women's basketball in your mind? What is it?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Well, I am a professional journalist.
Yeah, you are. I remember when we first went to probably the first game or two or whatever, that there being nobody there. And I know it's gotten a lot of pub, especially recently, but you know, when we left Toledo, which is where we were at before here, we had that thing rolling to about 4,000 or 5,000 fans a game. And to come here and get 300, 400, 500, you know, when this was supposed to be a step up, right? You know, I couldn't fathom at 9 or 10 years old. And you know, I left all my friends. And
did you have friends?
I thought the world was coming to an end. I had so many friends.
In Toledo?
Yeah. That, you know, they wanted to come with me, but then they found out I was moving to Iowa, and they're like, dude, I don't think there's any houses there. It's just like farms and stuff.
I mean,
they had me convinced that we were literally moving to nowhere.
If you live in Toledo, can you really say that about Iowa?
Hey, Toledo's booming, man.
I've never been.
It's a good city.
It's
a big city.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't trade Ames for Toledo after being here, but it took a little while to get used to. So, but obviously the last 20 years have been pretty amazing. I've spent 4 of those away of the 20 and got a chance to go out and do some different things and probably made me appreciate this place even more. So
yeah,
20 years. So, and now that I'm in the profession, to think that somebody's been at the same place as a head coach for 20 years is insane.
And that doesn't happen these days.
We will actually get somebody professional on this stat, maybe like Nicole Greiner, and ask her how many people have been at the same place for 20 years or more. And that list would be pretty amazing to think.
In the women's game, I mean, Gino's the one who comes to mind, obviously.
Pat Summitt, when she was doing it, you know. But I mean, it's
but
names
I'm talking like
that.
Right now, current ones.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody in the Big 12, obviously. So
no.
It's a small list.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here. I love Iowa State women's basketball. You guys know that. I'm pretty passionate about it. If somebody ever writes a book about Iowa State athletics, I want to do the women's basketball chapter. It's a fascinating deal to me. And I'm not just saying that. Like, we don't thing is, like, at Cyclone Fanatic, we there's not many fan sites, whatever you want to call us, across the country that cover women's basketball. So we embrace it not only because I'm passionate about it, but because it's good for us too. Like, let's not be like, if it wasn't moving the needle at all, we probably wouldn't cover it.
Right. No.
People click, Billy. People want to know what's going on.
That's what it's all about. Page views, baby.
Yeah.
And you know, whether it's good or bad, people will click. For the most part, it's been pretty good, I think.
I think,
you know?
So.
But no, absolutely. Uh-huh. And that's why, you know, we love the relationship that we have with you guys, because you guys do a great job for us. And obviously the Cyclone fans follow up and read and click and view and sell ads. And then everybody's happy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Busch Light. Then that's when Chris Williams buys Busch Light.
Yeah, exactly. Amen to that. You've been following us long enough. All right, let's talk about your team, Billy. William Penn, not Mary, comes to town tomorrow night. And it's the exhibition opener. I'm a big fan of the exhibition games. I understand why the men do what they do in that route, but I'm a big fan of the exhibitions, though, clearly, because I get to go to them. Every year I try and get to your guys' first exhibition game, even though it's usually against a, you know, like an NAIA type opponent. But it feels good to get back in Hilton, you know, especially after a long football season like we're all kind of going through at this point in time. But it's an intriguing basketball team, I think, that you guys have, mainly in the sense that it's very guard-oriented, at least at this point in time, from an outsider's perspective looking in. And I feel like you guys got back to it last year, but I feel like it's going to be kind of a bombs-away type season. Is that accurate? I feel like we're going to see a lot of running and gunning and three-point shooting and, you know, stuff that your dad's program has really been built on over the years.
Yeah, I think so, Chris. I think that's what we've kind of – thought this year would be. Obviously, we lost Hallie Christopherson, who was a monster, but we returned four starters, and with that we added five freshmen from five different states that each bring something different. And we've been excited about this class for a while. Obviously, the ones that are probably going to get the most scrutiny or looked at right away is going to be our post players.
Yeah.
Claire Ricketts and Brianna Fernstrom, who will play significant minutes for us all year long, obviously because that's a position of need. But then you got Emily Durr and Nakia Bell, who have come in very highly rated out of high school, who bring us something different as well. So we are legitimately six, seven guards mm-hmm. deep on a given night, and you can only play four of them, you know, and that's still playing four guards. So I think you're right. I think we're going to have to get it up and down. I think we're going to shoot the ball early. We got two, three kids who can handle the ball. You know, we return two kids that were all Big 12 freshman team, which is the first time that's ever happened in the history of the league.
Yeah.
So
really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, they're just Jada Buckley and Shauna Johnson are just sophomores, but people feel like they probably know them a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Because they did it every game last year. And Shauna Johnson returns as the third leading rebounder in our league. And, you know, Jada Buckley was one of two players in the country to shoot 40% from the three-point line, 40% from the field, and 80% from the free throw line. The only other kid to do that was a kid at UConn. So,
decent,
you know,
company.
Yeah, decent. So I like what we have. It's been fun. It's been an interesting first couple weeks of practice. For a lot of different reasons, we've had sickness. We've had, you know, we've had some injuries. We've had some other issues, you know, that have been documented. But we took our team to Italy this summer,
mm-hmm.
And so we really got that excitement about practice in June and in July, because we get 10 extra practices when you take your team on a foreign tour. That's the NCAA rule. You can do it every 4 years. The men went to Italy 3 years ago, and so you build up that excitement in that, oh my God, we're coming together way earlier than in October, where mm-hmm. where you'd usually get that now. So it's almost been a week where the past week, our kids are just ready to play somebody else.
I bet,
we've been
yeah.
doing this. We've really been at this for so long. Now we gave them the whole month of September off, basically. But we had so much stuff in already,
mm-hmm.
And we had obviously played three games together already. So the newness, quote-unquote, of practice and all that stuff, we didn't really have. That came for us in July. So we're excited to lace them up, play somebody else as opposed to our guys or each other. And, you know, we'll get a chance to do that tomorrow night against William Penn.
You brought up Jada Buckley. the most asked question of last year, but I'll ask it again. Is she going to shoot this year, Billy? Because, I mean, I found myself, if I wasn't at Hilton watching the TV last year, watching site and just screaming, shoot the ball, Jada. Is she going to shoot more?
Well, that
– Is that up to her?
It's up to her, absolutely. if she doesn't – you know, we talk in our staff meetings all the time that she needs to be somebody who needs to be told not to shoot. Shoot to the point where you're finally told not to, which mm-hmm. is never going to happen. Well, yeah. I shouldn't say never. Probably won't happen, A, because she just won't shoot that much, and B, because she shoots it at a pretty high clip. Yeah. So you want her to get shots up. So a very unselfish player, a kid that obviously was rated in the top 35 in the country and barely got to 1,000 points in high school. I mean, you're talking about Iowa high school girls basketball and barely got to 1,000 points. That's not very much.
Yeah.
Literally had high school games where she scored 4 and 6 points just because she didn't need to. She did so much other stuff. So, but now that she's here, she really needs to bring that for us. She needs to average – she averaged 10.9 last year. That needs to go up by at least 3, 4, 5 points, I think. You know, as long as – we got to make up for 18 points and 7 rebounds that we lost from Hallie. And, you know, where those are going to come from, it's not going to come from our freshman post players. They're not going to post 18 and 7 walking in here. They're just not. You know, now I like to think that they're going to be able to contribute and hack some of that stuff off. But our returning guards that everybody's making a big deal about need to pick up some of that slack. And it starts with her, you know, and moves to Brandon, Shauna, and those guys that all need to pick it up a little bit. So hopefully she gets to the point where she's shooting a lot more and people aren't yelling at Hilton Coliseum, shoot it, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's me. I'm that guy. I'm going to get in her ear.
All right.
This year for you. Shauna Johnson. Tell me if this is accurate. She doesn't, for the numbers that she put up as a freshman, it seems like she never got the amount of pub that I feel like she maybe deserved. Even leading up to the season, there's going to be so much chatter about who you guys are going to play in the post. There's the Nikki Moody situation. There's what I just talked about with Jada Buckley. Will she shoot? Nobody's going to talk about her. It reminds me of a young Melvin Edgem type of story, and not necessarily like the exact same type of player, but I'm that type of story just kind of does the dirty work, hangs out, uses her athleticism to her advantage. Is that accurate in your opinion?
I think it's very accurate. You know, I think when you have a kid who comes in, does her work, you know, doesn't really bring attention to herself, doesn't, you know, I mean, she's one of those kids that, you know, once in a while you got to go up to and just tell her how great she's doing, because you never really have to. You never really have any issues with her, mm-hmm. Which is a good thing. You know, you spend so much time in a basketball practice or in a whatever correcting some of the things that aren't done right. So you end up talking to the kids that are in the wrong spot or doing the wrong thing at this certain time, where Shauna's usually in the right spot. She's mm-hmm. usually doing the right thing. She's usually playing really hard. So you end up not really talking that much to her. And, you know, for my money, you know, there was a kid at Baylor, Nina Davis, who had a monster freshman year, maybe the best freshman year in the country, arguably, but Shauna was literally a half a rebound behind her and 2 points behind her. You know, and this kid was playing with Odyssey Sims, so she was getting one on one every night, sometimes one on none. So Shauna Johnson had as good of a freshman season, I think, as we've seen here at Iowa State. You know, maybe it's right up there in history, I think.
Yeah, no, I like her as a player. She's a unique type player too. I mean, she's good around the basket. She showed a little bit of range last year. I'm looking forward to seeing how she progresses as a sophomore. The freshmen are a big conversation, big topic of conversation. What has it been like as far as their progression goes? They got a little bit of a head start, as you mentioned, Italy. But has just the abundance of freshmen on your team, have you guys had to change maybe the month of October? I mean, what's it been like? It just seems like there are a lot of them who are going to be put in big situations this year.
Yeah, well, you know, Chris, for the first time in a while, we have actually done segments in practice or actually full practices where we just went against each other. Mm-hmm. And for ever, as long as I can remember, we always used guys every single day, which is great. And we still do that more times than not. But we've had enough depth and we've needed to see enough different things to go 5-on-5 a lot of the time. And you know, I think that's probably a different thing than we've done in the past. You know, I don't think we've had – you could make a case for you know, going 11, 12, 13 deep, you know, on this roster. Now, that's going to shake itself out. Nobody plays 10, 11 kids by the time you get into Big 12 play. It'll all shake itself out.
Ray McCaffrey would.
But. Yeah, well, you know, and look where that got him. But, you know, I think it, you know, it's something that we really like what we have. They're still working through a plenty of kinks, you know. But we put stuff in so fast, and we throw them right in the fire against guys right away that it's been good to be able to at least go against each other. It's been good to have four returning starters who can help them through some things. But you'll see tomorrow night, there'll be plenty of times where our fans can look out there and say, this whole team will be back next year and probably the year after. There will be maybe more times than not, you know, tomorrow that the team on the court, not a single person will graduate next year. And for the most part, if you take Kid off of there, they're all freshmen and sophomores. So
how exciting is that for you?
It's exciting. You know, I mean, I think, you know, everybody loves to talk about recruits. Everybody loves to talk about freshmen.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're juniors and seniors and they're old news. But,
yeah.
You know, I think we've brought in kids that play well together. I think, you know, you look at a Jada Buckley and look at a Shauna Johnson, both had phenomenal years last year. Very different players, you know, and to think that we're going to have those guys three more years, you know, hopefully there's a tandem in here or two or three of them of the freshman class that, you know, at the end of this year, we're talking about similarly.
You got it.
We're not going to edit that either.
No, it's because we keep it real.
Yeah. To Jada and Shauna. Now, they're not going to probably start every single game like those guys did just because the minutes aren't there. But they can make a huge impact. And I'll be – a freshman post player will start most, if not all, games for us this year. And that's just they bring the size. They bring something a little bit different. Fallon Ellis has had a pretty good October for us, helping those guys out. But she's, you know, 5'10", 5'11". Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got two freshmen. You got a 6'3 kid. You got a 6'5 kid. They're not – you know, anything near perfect by any stretch, but they're getting better every single day. So
is it one of those you can't teach that aspect of it? I mean, as far as their size?
Yeah. I mean, it's just when you get into our league and you go against 6'4", 6'5", every single night,
yeah,
Fallon can only do so much. She works her butt off. She's very strong.
Yeah.
But she's 5'10", 5'11", you know, you know, so she'll get some minutes at the four, and she'll get some minutes at the five against unique lineups.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just going to be hard when we get into our league. You're going to have somebody who can at least defend. And we're not going to need this person to go out and get 17 and 10, but they're going to need to keep somebody else from getting 17 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the goal. That's what we're talking to them every day about. So hopefully our guards can make up for that. And with those guards comes, you know, Emily Duren, Nakia Bell, as we were talking about the freshmen, that are going to get some significant minutes for us this year.
You'd rather have to start the – be in a situation where you have to start the freshman in the post, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you got – at least in the guards, it's like it's a luxury to be able to play those girls. But I feel like you're forced to do this in the post, and that's a better situation.
We've talked a lot about when Chelsea Poppins and Anna Prinz were freshmen. They got thrown right into the fire. But they played with very experienced guards.
Yeah.
You know, Allison Lacey, Heller Zell, Kelsey Bolte, you know, and that team lost to UConn in the Sweet 16, you know. So, you know, as opposed to some really post-dominated teams with freshman and sophomore guards,
mm-hmm.
you're obviously going to take, you know, guards control the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a guards game, but you got to have a big. And which one it's going to be on a given day, I don't think we'll know. I think it'll change from game to game. But if you're going to have a position where you're young, you would probably choose the post spot. And that's what's exciting about when you have young kids and like we were talking about, we're going to have a lot of freshmen and sophomores. For the next couple years, hopefully we're not going to have to rebuild, start over at that guard spot for a while.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to graduate Nikki and Bryn, and then you got two kids, you know, coming up that are going to get some tick this year. They're going to be able to fill right in. And then you got four more years and hopefully, you know, so, and then your freshman post players get better and things like that. And then you can start to put some things together.
Who or what has been the biggest surprise of the preseason in your opinion?
That's a great question.
Again, I'm a professional journalist.
It is.
it can be a player. It can be a, you know, we've really worked on trying to get this better, and it's really developed. Can be a, well, anything come to your mind?
Well, I think, you know, I honestly, I think our post players have done a pretty good job. I think they started slow.
That's good news for
listeners. Yeah, and, you know, we have, every day we got six of them down there that are battling. Now, Maddie's been battling some injury things, still left over from last year, so she's probably a step behind. But Jordan Jensen's doing some nice things, again, limited by size. Fallon's done a good job helping lead this crew, again, limited by size. But the ones that we're going to talk about and the ones that you're going to see and the people want to know about because they haven't seen them, Claire Ricketts and Brianna Furstrom have had good days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think if at the end of the year, you know, we look back and say, God, what were we missing? I really don't think – and I'm knocking on wood as I say this, and I hope – that we're going to be like, wow, our post play was really let us down in most games. I just don't see that happening. These kids have bought in. They understand. We've kind of put the chip on their shoulder. We've talked a lot to them about that. Coach Shaven and I work with our post players mostly every day. And we've told them, look, you know, we return 5 points, five rebounds, and 11 minutes a game in the post, which is next to last out of every FBS conference. So, There's no getting around that. That's the fact. So we can either be poor me and say, oh, well, we're just going to go out and suck every night, or we can start proving some people wrong. And I think our kids have bought into that. And, you know, they don't have to go out and get 17-8 like Hallie did. And nobody's going to draft them the WNBA next year. But they need to hold their own and with that give our guards a chance to have some open court to do the things that our guards need to do. And that starts with them being in the right spots, making people guard them. And if it's one-on-one on the block, they need to score. And they need to rebound. They need to defend. And I've been pleasantly surprised with that so far. And you know, again, you're talking about two freshmen where there's days where we've been pleasantly unsurprised. But
it's going to happen.
It's been good, and I'm really excited for them to go out tomorrow against somebody else and see what we do, and we'll at least have film, you know, albeit against a Division III team, but, you know, we'll have something against somebody else.
Last question, then I'll move on to a few off-topic things. Hallie and Chelsea, let's get an update on them. Hallie's playing where now? She's overseas, correct?
Yep, she is. Where is she right now?
I mean to put you on the spot, but it's somewhere in Europe. I've seen it.
Absolutely. They're both in Europe, and that's where the money's at in women's basketball.
Europe.
Yeah.
It's, even over the WNBA, huh?
Yeah. She make more money over there than, you know, she would playing in the WNBA.
And it's just a cool experience, too, from people I've talked – I mean, I talked to Jared Holman, I know, a couple years ago, and I was trying to ask him, like, you know, why don't you come play in the D-League or something? He's like, because I want to get paid, and plus it's sweet living in Greece.
Exactly. And I think, you know, for those guys, the one thing that's interesting is Hallie sent back a message right away after her first game. There was 12 people in the crowd. 12. So, you know,
her game in Europe?
Yeah.
How is the money there if that's how many people are showing up?
So she's in Austria, but and I don't know exactly how the money deal works itself out. There's they're in Russia, which is where the most money is.
Really?
That's where like Tarazi's playing and all those guys.
Wow.
And literally it's just like mob bosses that just my team's gonna be better than yours, so I'm just gonna invest that much money in it, and it's
do the checks clear?
I think so. I don't know. But that's why, you know, we always encourage our players to work with an agent that she knows where to put them. Now, maybe $5,000 less, but she knows the check's clear and stuff like that.
Because that's a big part of the international game.
Yeah. So, but more importantly, our girls, you know, they're going to have no trouble getting a job when they get done, and they're not doing it for the money per se as much as finding a cool spot to be, a safe place to be.
Yeah.
So,
good.
I mean, I think Hallie's averaged like 35 in her first three games. So she's killing over there.
Pop
was still a little bit slow when she went over. She wasn't as ready to go after tearing her knee last year as she wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she ended the year with San Antonio Silver Stars right before she tore her knee, and they really liked her to the point where I think if she gets back, they will give her another shot next year to try to make the team.
That's
and
great.
Hopefully Hallie gets another shot after having a good year. But, you know, hopefully they'll do it as long as they can, and then they'll figure something else out.
It's great. It's good to see the Iowa girls careers extended.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these people post, they're posting on Facebook, I'm sure their hometown of Hamlin and Parkersburg are like, where are these people at? I don't even know this existed.
I've told your dad this story numerous times. I think I've told you, probably not on the air though, but I once called, Hallie was a freshman or a sophomore at Exira, and I called her. It was a sub-state basketball game. There, she was playing against a team that I was doing play-by-play for. And I didn't know you guys were recruiting her at the time or anything, but I was just a name. She just took over the game. It was an unbelievable sight. It's amazing at that level, and this doesn't matter if it's in football, men's, women's, basketball, whatever. At that level, I would say 2A or lower, maybe even 3A or lower in the state of Iowa. If there's a Division I athlete on the floor, you're going to find it.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly.
No doubt about that. There's no
ifs, ands, or buts about it. If there's a D1 athlete out there, it stands out to you, man.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, especially in the state of Iowa. To be honest with you, probably most classes in the state of Iowa.
Probably.
But yeah, you know, it's amazing what she came from. And now, look at you. You know, you came from calling Exira Iowa games to Cyclone Fanatic. Who would have thought? Basically, you guys have had similar career paths.
Yeah, because Cyclone Fanatic is just booming these days.
Hey, it is.
We have fun with it.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't edit out me. Well, I went from calling the 1A girls basketball games to completely just blowing up the intro of this podcast and not even getting the right team correct. That, you know what I just did for you, though, against you guys? I gave William Penn bulletin board material for tomorrow night.
True.
They're going to tune in because I guarantee those girls are avid listeners of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast presented by the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, of course. You know, they're in their dorm rooms and they go, this guy doesn't even know what team we are. And now they're going to hang that in their bulletin board and they're going to be really they're going to be fired up tomorrow night.
Quote from Chris Williams is going to be in the visitor locker room at Hilton.
My bad. My bad, all right, man?
Don't make this mistake again.
Yeah, my bad. Go from that to somber note. I wanted to give my condolences to your family on the Oscar Tavares deal with the Cardinals, man.
It's crazy.
Those listening, I mean, if you follow Iowa State women's basketball, which you probably do if you're listening to this, the Finleys are avid St. Louis Cardinals fans. And, man, that news – it was weird because I'm not a Cardinals fan, and I really don't know anything about Oscar other than how talented he was. And that that hit me hard, man. What was he, 19? How old was he? 20?
Yeah. I think he was 21.
21 years old.
Yeah.
That is just so tragic.
Yeah, and honestly, we were sitting there. The Royals were playing the Giants. Game four, game three, I don't know.
Yeah.
And my brother texts me. And so I look, and of course, now what's the first thing you do nowadays when somebody says, hey, is this true?
Twitter?
Yeah, search it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, it had blown up, and I'm like, wow. To the point where, now you can't always believe some of these people with like 3 followers.
Correct.
You know, and they're following 4,000 people. But then once Buster Olney and Ken Rosenthal and, you know, the Cardinals beat hack bloggers that I follow are – talking about it, then you know
the
it's real.
The hack probably have more follows than the legitimates, right?
Oh, yeah. <Go ahead. laughs> But, you know, and that's what, you know, obviously we're huge fans and stuff, and I don't know Oscar at all.
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad for his family, and most importantly, I've seen some pictures of, you know, I think what he brought to his town in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those pictures were unbelievable. There was like 5,000 kids, like, trying to touch the casket as it went in. And it's just obviously he provided so much joy and hope for some of those kids in obviously a very baseball rich place.
Mm-hmm.
But just sad, you know, when you think about the kid was, I don't know, didn't matter the last couple of years, number 2, 3, 4 prospect in the game. So that's why he got so much attention. Didn't have a great year this year for the Cardinals, but had a couple huge hits. Literally 13 days before he died, hit a home run in the NLCS.
I don't feel like they gave him enough opportunity this year, but that's just me.
Yeah, and it was a different kind of dynamic to the Cardinals season.
That's irrelevant at this point. But
it's just, you know, how do you – and I put this on Twitter, and, you know, we deal we, as in basketball coaches or people at the university, deal with 18 to 22-year-olds, which is what this kid was, about your opportunities and how you can't take anything for granted or whatever. You just never know when something crazy is going to happen, you know, and it's a sad situation. And he ended up killing his girlfriend too in the deal. But, you know, it's hard, you know, and it's bad that you need something like that to try to drive home to people, you know, that this could happen to anybody, even though, you know, you could tell that to whoever, and it's still hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with these kind of kids, and our players are similar, you know, they're rock stars here in Ames. And men's players, doesn't matter who it is, football guys, this is what this guy was. He was rock star status. And, you know, I'm sure he felt on top of the world. And before you know it, one bad deal, it's over. So, you know, that's sad. It's a sad deal.
It's one thing I try and tell people, you know, some fans and whatnot about the whole college athletics thing. So, you know, when you sit in Jack Trice Stadium or Hilton Coliseum and you watch these athletes, and even the grown men can do, in your mind, they become larger than life, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's a freshman. It could be an 18-year-old freshman.
Right.
They become larger than life, and it becomes very easy to lose perspective that they are a human being.
Right.
We had just an instance a couple weeks ago. My father-in-law had come down to Benchwarmers to watch our Thursday show and hang out. He likes to come down and hang out. And Jeff Woody was there. And my father-in-law got to talking with Jeff, and they were talking about, like, home improvement, a couple things they had in common. And sit there the whole night for 2 hours. These guys sat next to each other. He had no idea it was Jeff Woody. When he left, he goes, who is that? I go, that's Jeff Woody. He used to play running back for the Clones. And he was just like, what? You know what I mean? And it was like a real humanizing moment for him to – wow, those guys have personalities, and they'll sit and talk with you. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And that was, to me, is kind of what hit home about the Oscar thing. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him other than his ranking. I watched him play for the Cardinals a few times. But, man, like, to think, like, a guy that young, just with that much to give, it was just a sad deal. Yeah. That was a sad deal for everybody who loves sports, I think.
For sure. I agree.
You're a Cardinal. Did you enjoy the World Series? Because you had a unique perspective. Your rival from the AL.
Yep.
Is playing against the team that eliminated the Cardinals.
Yeah. I was rooting for the Royals.
Good for you. Yeah. I was hoping that you wouldn't be that
now,
guy.
I appreciate what the Giants have done forever. I share an office with Coach Dyer, is probably a Cardinals fan with her husband and son. She is a Cardinals fan. My dad, obviously, Cardinals fan. But Carp and Pete are Cubs fans. And which
I'm about to poor bastards.
Right. But so by the time May comes around, you don't hear him very much.
Yeah.
But, but you know, so it's one of those things where it would be easy to be bitter or whatever. But as the whole season goes on, I'm like, look, I tell these Cub fans, the Cardinals are a dynasty. You know, I mean, when they went in, when they finally won the NL Central, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm that fan that's like, this is –
you're an arrogant Cardinal fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the Spurs. You got whatever. Who else you got?
Well, the Patriots.
Yeah.
I call you guys the Patriots of baseball.
But, yeah. But then let's be honest. I mean, the Giants are the real dynasty.
Yeah.
And
it's that West Coast bias, man. We don't care much for the West Coast.
They beat the Cardinals at the Cardinals game,
yeah,
to be honest with you. And so, meanwhile, all that stuff aside, obviously the Giants have had plenty of success. I was rooting for the Royals. It was crazy down there. Sure seemed like, and I knew some people that were down there. So I was rooting for the Royals. It was a great series.
I was wanting the I-70 series, man. How
that
would have
been
that
fun. That
would
have been fun.
I see, like, because I was rooting for the Royals. I'm a Braves fan, but the Royals are, and make fun of me if you want, they are my second favorite team, always have been. But I had mixed emotions on the I-70 series because, like, the sports fan in me is like, man, like, Central Iowa would be insane, you know, with Cardinals and Royals fans mixing it up. But then on the other hand, it's kind of like, you know, if Iowa State would ever make the Final Four, the last team I'd want to play is Iowa.
Right.
You know what I mean? One of those type of situations.
Yeah. They probably would have moved the World Series to True TV or something.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But no, it was baseball's fun to follow because it's usually when basketball's not going on. But
yeah,
as soon as baseball's over, it's time for basketball. So that's where we're at.
This is one giant soap opera.
It is.
As is the college basketball season, which begins tomorrow.
We're excited.
Thank you for your time, my friend.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
We'll get you back on.
All right, let's
do
it.
And we'll have you on the Thursday radio show when the Big 12 season heats up, of course. And football's kind of
where are we at Thursdays this year?
Bench warmers down in Ankeny. Right, yeah. You and your dad came last year. Remember that?
Yeah.
You guys, I believe, had the Hoiberger or the Paul Rhodes pizza. One of the two.
I think I had the pizza.
How's the little man doing?
Good. Very good.
Is he getting big?
He's getting big. Yeah, yeah. You better get over and start taking some notes, my friend.
What's your number one early fatherhood advice you could give me right now? Number one piece of advice.
Just keep telling Ashley how great of a job she's doing. Actually, my father-in-law, very wise man.
Well, you have to say that.
No, but he very okay. much is.
All right. Well, if he created Lindsay, I mean.
Yeah, clearly. Told me the number one thing that a father can do for his children is to love his mother.
That's good.
And he always told me that.
That's good.
And well before Will came along. So,
okay.
And I find that to be true because now Will is like attached at the hip with Lindsay. So if I don't love her, then he's going to hate me.
Oh,
so
okay. Yeah.
I got to.
Especially the boy, I feel like, takes to the mom a little
absolutely,
bit. The girl
absolutely.
Does the dad.
So no, but it's a lot of fun, man. You know, everyone keeps talking about, oh, God, get your sleep now. Believe me, you've never realized that you could live on so little sleep.
Guys like and I don't sleep much anyway.
No,
so.
It's not as bad as people make it out. I think these people who say that must have slept like 12 hours a night. I'm like, what kind of job did you have?
Pre-Will, in season, what do you get hours sleep?
Yeah, I'm actually a pretty solid sleeper now. I don't go to bed early. It'd be about midnight to 6.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Yeah.
Five to 7. 7 is very rare.
Yeah.
I would say 5 to 6 usually during the basketball season.
Right.
Football season's easier.
Yeah. Because
there's one game. It's very – basketball, man, I mean, if you guys are on – men are on a Monday. You guys are on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Men are on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Then you got Saturday. It's
and
nuts.
Usually at least once a week we're somewhere else, you know, on the road. And
oh, yeah, and you travel more than
I
do.
Yeah, so it's but that's why we do it. It's fun, man.
All right, so your advice to me is just to be really nice to my wife, essentially.
Yeah, that. And don't sweat the – don't sweat the sleep.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the sleep. That does nothing for me.
Honestly, some of my best times have been when it's like 2, 3 in the morning and Lindsay's sleeping and I'll get up with him and then we'll just sit there and I'll pop on SportsCenter for the 12th time, but it's just you're just chilling and
that's
hanging
like,
out.
That's
and,
like the hassle hours. They give hassle the hours at like 2, 3 in the
morning. Yeah, it's fine. He's live.
Yeah.
But
nobody's watching.
Yeah, but you know it's a blast. I'll tell you what, it's and I'm excited to, I'm not excited to lose a game, at all, but I am. I can already tell a much bigger difference from if we lose out on a recruit or if we have a bad practice. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's still gonna poop his pants and he's still gonna throw up on me.
Yeah,
and he's
and you're gonna
still
love
gonna
it.
Cry and then he's still gonna smile and so.
It's all about perspective, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, it puts a lot of things into perspective, for sure. But it's the best thing ever. You guys will be great at it. I'm looking forward to getting the guys together. And
yeah.
I think we'll
roll around.
Yeah, we'll coach the AAU team or something.
Yeah, be good.
We'll be the
– I'll let you be the head coach. I'll just be the emotional leader on the sideline.
Yeah, and we'll broadcast live while the game's going on from
maybe
the coaching box.
We could hire, like, Fellingham and Bloom to come and – commentate. That's assuming Bloom's not at like ESPN by this time.
Yeah, well, he might be.
He should be.
He very much.
Now, you've done work with Bloom. I don't want to just get into this Bloom love fest, but like he's that type of announcer.
He is.
He's that good.
I don't know. You know, I don't have as much expertise in that area as you would, but he is very good.
Yeah.
And I know that. I've heard that from other people too who have a lot more expertise than I am. But I don't know if people know I had a great but short – stint as color commentator as a manager, and I think it ended with probably me being cut off before I dropped some choice words.
You got cut off
in Waco, but Brent always made me look great, so while it's not a career that I'm pursuing,
you should.
Brent can make anybody look good.
He can.
I'd rather just do half-hour hack blog podcast sessions.
This is more fun
unedited, even though it's not live.
This is more fun. Well, signing off, a couple of guys who have ridden Brent Bloom's coattails for a while now. Thank you, though, Billy.
Absolutely.
It's been good. It's been good
Appreciate
to have the podcast. This is the Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast, iamenscenter.com. Flu shot season. Go file on in, iamenscenter.com. He's Billy Finley. The Cyclones will take on William Penn Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. I'm Chris Williams. Coming up tomorrow, Matt Abdelmassi from the Iowa State men's basketball program. We'll have a special podcast with him as we continue to preview the 2014-15 Iowa State basketball seasons. From the Sioux Cup, I'm Chris. He's Billy. So long, everybody.